Here we have at Oki MP, I believe, who's also been hashtagged lately as Oki Doki.
Oh, right.
While the nation waits and various other hashtags. The way we're going to run this session is I'm going to have a conversation with Rob, and then I really do encourage those of you in the audience who have been a little shy to date to come up with questions that you might like to put. And if I can just do a bit of housekeeping before we launch into this, those of you who are having difficulty hearing to my left, and again, I apologise for my back view, there are some seats up this end if you'd like to make your way here as well. And of course, we'll be taking questions via Twitter, so if you're out there watching this stream and you'd like to put something to Rob Oakeshott about social media, or in fact, perhaps the NBN, who will the next speaker be, what he thinks of constitutional advice, whatever your fancy is. Rob Oakeshott, can I start by pointing out that when I asked you for a 140-character summary of your position on the role of social media in the new political paradigm, you said, and I quote, "Today 17 words seems to beat 17 minutes every time." And might I say, when I said that I was interviewing you today through social media channels, I did get the odd response that was along the lines of, "Don't ask him anything." But that goes to one of the mainstream media critiques, in fact, of your recent extraordinary role, which was with the other independents to determine the colour of our government and the events that led to your announcement that you'd eventually back Labor. You did cop a lot of media flack. I read that some correspondents, words like self-indulgent and egotistical were used. So, the comic in me thinks, well, perhaps you would have been better tweeting, "I'm with that Tony Windsor, I'm backing Labor." But the vast bulk of reaction that I got to those questions about what I should ask you, coming from not just engaged citizens, but professional journalists too, I must say, was, what's your reaction to the media backlash against the length of time it took you to get to that point, and how do you interpret that? Is the media too rusted onto the old paradigm, was one way it was put to me.
Yeah, OK, thanks for that set-up question. and I'd say it's a set-up because I think there's an inherent danger in people in public life commenting on the media, although I guess I'll give... I'll break it into two parts. First is the 17 minutes. Yeah, even myself, in reflection, after 17 days of being on the hammer of trying to work out a difficult issue, on reflection, probably spoke for too long. But the last thing on my mind was that this would be an issue. In truth, I had three folders sitting on my floor at the back of my office. One was a parliamentary reform folder. One was striking a formal agreement with either the Libs or Labor. And the other, quite clearly on the front of the folder, said considered response. that word considered, I didn't think I would have to break that down to 17 characters. I could have said something like, the Australian economy is strong, Australia is at peace, I'm backing the existing government. I could have broken it down to that, and I'd imagine Twitter world would have probably been a lot happier. For me, in my mind, I was trying to show that this wasn't a deal done behind closed doors for self-indulgent reasons or for some sort of weird political reason, that this was quite genuinely a process, particularly Tony Windsor and I went through, and I wanted to demonstrate that process. Now, Four Corners, and I'll give them a plug, because it's not just mainstream media are bad. They lived with us for those 17 days, and so hopefully they will come to my rescue in a couple of weeks' time when they show that process in action over those 17 days. I have been surprised by this 17-minute issue, and I know I got belted by The Chaser, and I gather they're here in the room, and Tracy Grimshaw and others. And again, I wasn't even thinking that Twittering would be happening underneath me and killing me while I was speaking.
Is that how you see it? Do you think that the social media back channels were being as critical, if not more critical, than the mainstream? Have you been observing?
No. I think everyone was critical about the length of time I spoke. I just didn't think it would be... it wasn't in my mind that it would be happening live. To be honest, it wasn't even in my mind that this thing would be, you know, that I'd have friends at Frankfurt Airport saying, "You're holding up planes, hurry up." I just thought this was a process I'd gone through, and I wanted to demonstrate at the end of that that it was a genuine and considered process that I'd been through. But in hindsight, you know, you live and learn. It could have been tightened up. And in regards to social media now, the question is where to from here? And where I'm feeling a bit frustrated with media generally, and, you know, again, in public life, you've just got to cop your own frustrations, is what was said in that 17 minutes probably hasn't had the airtime that I was hoping it deserved. We have a regional education crisis in this country. Access and participation rates from people who are in non-metropolitan areas are 25% lower than those from metro areas to tertiary education. If we are serious about public policy, productive outcomes and innovative Australia, that's where I would hope the debate goes sometime soon. Now, how social media deals with that, I'm not quite sure, but I hope in what is quite a detailed and in-depth public policy discussion, I would hope there is a role for social media, and even in 17 characters that we can nail that conversation sometime soon.
You say that you weren't necessarily conscious, for example, of this social participation in that process, well, which was a very... Well, I mean, in terms of social media, the way it unfolds live. Yeah. Interestingly, my interpretation, sitting there between my dog and my baby on the couch watching the tweet stream, was actually that this was, at its essence, a very social media moment. It was unmediated. The journalists, who were no doubt frustrated partly by deadlines and partly because of, you know, a range of other reasons, but they didn't have a capacity to interrupt you. Your issues weren't sidelined during that press conference because you took the stage for that length of time, which is what many politicians are suggesting needs to happen, this displacement of traditional gatekeepers. So, and let me just make you, before we move on, feel slightly better about this. I was written to on Facebook by a journalist who happens to work for the ABC, who wanted me to ask you, and you can take this as a comment, given you've already dealt with this to an extent, if you like, but how frustrating was it to see a media pack continue to see itself as so clever by sending up your decision speech when that same media pack will spend 45 minutes asking the same questions over and over and over at a leader's doorstop?
Oh, that's right. And look, well, again, I've got to be careful. you know, and I'm learning, you know, this is what the underlying issue for me, and probably the broader comment for everyone here to hopefully think about over the next 3 years in this new paradigm, is I think there is an inherent lack of understanding between people such as myself, who have been backbench members for 2 years, and just the nuances that are the Canberra Press Gallery, and vice versa. You know, I think there is a lack of understanding of not so much me and similar MPs as me, but more the electorates we represent and the issues in that electorate. I have had one media outlet offer to come and spend a day with me over the last 30 days. That has been Al Jazeera.
Well, that's interesting. And they are at the cutting edge of social media practice. So.
Well, every other media outlet is commenting from either Sydney or Canberra about, you know, pitchforks in the electorate of Lyne and how the mood on the ground is terrible. Now, yes, there have been some FIFO journalism, fly-in, fly-out journalism, but in my view, with a story in mind already, that is unhelpful. The mood on the ground is actually pretty buoyant and pretty positive, but that is not what you're reading, and that is not what's starting to enter itself into the mythology of the stories that I'm starting to see written. So from a social media perspective, I hope that we can... The answer potentially is in this room, in that that sense of... truth from a community perspective can be given its day in the sun, but it needs to be driven by an understanding of the communities we represent. And that's where I gather you just had a conversation about broadband. You know, for someone to be blogging at any level with any depth from an area such as mine, there are public policy issues that we need to address to allow that to happen, to break this lack of understanding between Canberra and other locations within Australia.
In fact, we had to roll in Wi-Fi here, this monument down the hill from the big house. Doesn't actually have Wi-Fi access, and I sit at home 25 minutes away without mobile access.
Okay.
So moving right along, but if you can take that up as part of the new paradigm, I'd be thrilled. Now, in addition to blogging and tweeting during the campaign, you actually had your own mobile app.
Yes.
And you're looking at your ankle, because didn't you have something attached to your body that
followed you?
Was it just... There's mythology around this too. There was an idea of a kind of ankle bracelet that was a tracking device.
I've got it on me, but I just the battery, like all social media, all media now, the battery's flat.
Yeah.
So it was something that we got a Mobi, and we so anyone who's got a smartphone even now can know exactly where I am if you want to, as weird as that is. We rang Google and said, if we can work it out, can we muck around with a tracking device that uses Google Maps? We've done that, and again, what we're trying to show through me is that we actually have some people in a regional area who do have the skills to pull off something that no other MP's got, and a lot of people are trying to work out technically how we did it. Well, we did it, and we're having a bit of fun with this device. So roboakeshott.mobi. You can see where I am every waking minute if you want. It feels a bit weird, but it's there for you if you want it.
Okay, which will come in very handy, particularly as we approach the first sitting day and we still don't yet have a speaker. So if you go missing in action, we'll be able to track you down.
I don't think you'll see me walking up to the speaker's chair.
No,
that's played itself out.
Indeed it has, and we might come to that in a moment. Thinking about what you've done, which is quite cutting edge, really. I mean, having a mobile app in a campaign where politicians were largely criticised, apart from odd exceptions like Malcolm Turnbull, for failing to engage. Going forward, if I can, or moving forward,
Yes,
thank you very much, with real action. As you try to deal in this new paradigm and deal partly with your constituents and this new national constituency that you've got, what's your social media strategy going to be?
Look, it'll be really valuable when we can just survive the tsunami of the moment. But that will help us deal with the way through the tsunami, where we'll start to use... we've stuck with Facebook, and we've started to use Twitter during the campaign, and then the Mobi. So we'll start to use smartphone applications a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that'll start to steer some traffic... outward rather than just all being inward at the moment. There's some misconceptions about what local members' resources are. We've got journalists from down here ringing up saying, can we speak to your media team? And the person at the other end of the phone is saying, well, this is it. we're an office of, what, four people. And so we need social media to help manage some pretty big interest and some pretty big organisations that are driving that interest. So we'll use it and use it hard.
And to bypass the mainstream to an extent, it stands.
Well, look, again, I'm not going to make it a social versus mainstream media contest. We've got to get our message out every way we can. But if what is now becoming more overt as... bias is the wrong word, but some agendas that are driving certain outlets continues.
Do you care to name those?
We'll have to find ways around, because no one likes being beaten up day in, day out for no good reason.
Hit back. Okay, now I'm going to take a question from the floor at this point. So hand and microphone, please. Yes.
I'm not sure if this is a question, but I just want to comment on the 17 minutes. And I think during the election campaign, there was a lot of complaints that they had a campaign that lacked substance. And then afterwards, when we had 17 days where we discussed substance for so long, everyone was complaining that it was taking too long for us to get to a lack of substance. There was too much discussion. I'm not sure. Can you comment on that, about sort of whether, is there is the lack of substance something that actually comes from the media, or is it something that is there, or is, where do you think that shift came? Because I really saw it. There was
a real grassroots revolt around the alleged absence of policy substance, both from politicians and journalists' analysis of it. And so, do you want to?
Yeah. Look, I. I've been wrestling with that myself over the last couple of days. The word depth is the one that keeps coming to mind. Is where is the depth in public policy in Australia today? And as well, this fear of disagreement. And I'm hoping one of the good things that will come from this parliament is that it's okay to disagree. Well, where I think Australian public policy is at the moment is, you know, if we're to disagree, I'm almost obliged to finish the sentence with, we disagree and you're a mug. You know, it starts to become about playing the man rather than playing the ball. And there is a business saying that if two people agree in business, then one's not necessary. Disagreement is a positive, not a negative. And I would hope we can have plenty of disagreement through good, deep discourse through this parliament without it drifting on to it's about the man or the woman and, you know, you're an idiot for thinking that way. And that's where all of us have obligations, media included, to not necessarily drift on to people, you know, having ulterior motives if they have a difference of opinion. And I'm hoping that comes via the parliament, but everyone's got obligations on that front. And that, you know, if there is one mainstream media comment, that would be, I think, the paradigm shift that they're working through at the moment, and hopefully they come out the other end sometime soon.
A follow-up question, which I was about to phrase myself, but coming from Andrew Perry via Twitter during our conversation, is the community and media impatience that you're giving a reasoned answer for your decision, perhaps a reflection of social media's influence on journalists. I mean, we have seen debate in the community about this, the impact of always on, real time, 140 characters and so on, the way it diminishes our ability for deep thought. And might I just say, I think we should have a new hashtag, deep discourse. can you respond to that?
Oh, I think I just had, you know, I think we're all grappling, and I'm no oracle on what the answer on the depth question is, but I think it is there for us all to try and get an answer to.
Do you think social media can be blamed for mitigating that, which is what some critics say?
Yep. You know, I think there is, if we're going to say, you know, there are very big strengths in social media, and that is the community engagement and getting through the gatekeepers, but one of the negatives is the picture card approach to public policy. We've got to be careful of drifting into it all being about who's the wittiest without being too witty. That is, you know, I think that's got some dangers all of its own, and it just dumbed down the whole process. And it starts driving politicians to behave accordingly. And if that's what we want, that's what we get. I would hope we now have an opportunity to look for depth, look for disagreement, and from that get better outcomes through the parliament. You know, the other mythology at the moment is this is all about a kinder, gentler polity. I would disagree with that. You know, in a boxing ring, there are still rules, and so, but it's still boxing. We are still going to have a fight here next week, and that's what I think everyone wants. But we want it done.
You want a fight?
Well, we want it done in a way that is about policy and constructive policy and about productive outcomes. It doesn't need to be gentle and cute, and I think, you know, the Age of Aquarius, Kumbaya and peace pipes have been mentioned about 1,000 times in the last 2 weeks. Mm. That is missing the point. Mm. This is about an opportunity for the floor of the parliament to have a policy contest that is about constructive policy and about productive outcomes for this country. It doesn't need to be kind and gentle. It just needs to be focused on policy, not on the man, not on, you know, whatever works in the short-term best interests of one political party or the other.
But less partisan, potentially, is what you've been talking about, isn't it? More bipartisan support around policy making.
Oh, very much so. And that's where every local member in this parliament, you know, is activated. And that's going to be the interesting thing. Less so, yeah, you know, the crossbenchers are probably of interest at the moment. But as soon as parliament comes back, as soon as a few issues bubble up, there is going to be, you know, the Kelvin Thompsons of the world, you know, on the Labor side and his 14-point plan on population, which is a really interesting potential debate for this country. That's sitting there ready to go. You know, what does he do and what does the parliament do with that now that there is potentially real power with a reform process over the next week that will allow for private members' bills to actually be voted on for the first time? And that's just one example of, you know, all members of parliament have had their whinging rights removed. They now have to be constructive, and it's going to be a test, and it's going to be interesting to see who passes that test and who doesn't.
How important will public conversation be as part of this process and as part of this next parliament, which brings us back to the theme, which is, you know, social media or that kind of participatory democracy that it can foster?
So long as it focuses on the ball and not the man, I think the public discussion is critical to drive politicians who, by their very nature, are voted in by majority, so need people. You know, that public discussion has to be positive. This is a test for things such as talkback radio and their place in media today, and you know, the conflict industry that has traditionally hung off Australian politics, I think is, well, we're seeing it being challenged right now, and that is going to be an interesting shift if we can make it, because you know, if we don't, then the public discourse is going to be one that is driven by fear and loathing rather than the higher ideals of better, productive, more innovative, more creative outcomes for this country. So let's just wait and see.
OK, and we'll take another question at that point from the audience. Yes.
G'day, Rob. You do seem reluctant to want to engage in a brawl with the media, but why is that? And do you think it's valuable kind of in the context where certain sections of the media do seem to have an agenda, that they're not only running against particular political parties, but against yourself and Tony Windsor and kind of what you're fighting for?
Look, I've been in public life for 13 years and I've never seen anyone win that fight when they pick it. It's there. I think amongst people who are in public life, it's recognised that it's there. But you give me the answer on how you genuinely win it. I think everyone can see what is going on. I hope people can start to ask why it is going on. And, you know, at the moment when I pick up certain newspapers, I just stand in the shower in the morning and just
say, I love this code, certain sections of the media, certain newspapers.
Well,
it's not just you.
Well, and I just fall back on trusting people. I've just, you know, I stand in that chair and say, trust people, trust people. And the feedback in my community is that they see it as well. And so it's not necessarily my fight to pick. It is up to the consumer who is relying on certain media sources for their politics to think whether they are the right sources for their politics and objective sources for their politics. And I'm not saying I'm not up for scrutiny or up for hard reporting. I am. I actually think it's a really valuable role played by mainstream and social media. But so long as it doesn't go down the path of name-calling, which is what I've seen in the last week, attacking people in my community and trying to build
this
some
is
sort
from
of...
the media or social
yeah,
media?
Yeah, no, communities? This is from media trying to build some weird conspiracy that I'm running a fiefdom through a surf club and a rugby club. You know, it's just it's just bizarre stuff, but it is being listened to. And it is, you know, now a bit of a time for some consideration whether those traditional sources of truth are to be challenged and tested. And this Parliament, again, not just one person, I hope 150 members of Parliament will start to address that in some ways if we behave and focus on policy, not on the man. And that's going to be the test.
Doesn't it indicate, though, the stranglehold that mainstream media still has over public debate and politics, the fact that it's almost like the newspaper that shall not be named, you know, the Voldemort of the media? I don't know, people are still, not just you, other politicians, and you've made this point, that nobody wants to pick a fight with the mainstream still. Does that just demonstrate how entrenched the power base of traditional media is?
Oh, I'm just a lover, not a fighter. You know, I don't want to pick a fight with anyone in this room. You know, people have got jobs to do. They've got papers to sell. They've got ratings to get on radio. And, you know, normally that's all fine. And, in fact, it's even when it's not normal, when it's a bit weird like it is at the moment and you're in the centre of it, that's fine as well. When, you know, in public life, you do have a big target on you at sorts. When it drifts on to just conspiratorial weirdness, which is what it's done in the last week, or it drifts on to picking on other people who've got absolutely nothing to do with this, I think that's when, you know, we've all got to start to pull the lever on it and say, what on earth is going on and why is it going on? And start to turn a bit of the interest around on others to start to explain what they're up to in their alliances, allegiances, or, you know, preferences in reporting.
Sure. We have one more question from the floor. Somebody with a... Yep, hand up.
Oh, g'day, Rob. My name's Andrew Campbell. I work at around science and policy at the intersection of carbon, water, energy and food, big long-term strategic issues for the country. Can you elaborate a little bit about how you think this new parliament might be able to deal with those big strategic challenges better than the sort of tightly opaque executive government we've had for the last 20 years?
Look, I'm buoyant and hopeful, but I'm not, I don't know for sure. I think there is a debate ready to be had in this country on population generally, linked into climate change, linked into prices on carbon versus carbon tax. And if you saw Greg Combe last night, we're starting to... It's almost like they're being pushed across the line now, which I think is fascinating to watch. I think food policy is one that is going to be, pardon the pun, ripe for the picking, this parliament. And all of that interacts. And I'd also throw in land use planning as well. I think the Commonwealth hopefully will be pushed into territory of land use planning and some of these farming versus mining issues and food security and where all that sits with population growth in certain areas. So I think that is going to be one of the exciting and difficult debates of this parliament. Again, it goes back to things such as parliamentary reform, whether we can get that across the line and allow this conversation to be had. It taps into some of these early skirmishes around how, in particular, the opposition are going to play, whether they are going to be constructive, focused on being constructive and productive, or whether they're just going to try and wreck and drag it down. I would hope it's the former, not the latter, but we're all watching closely. And, if it's the former, then I think it's going to be a time of great debate in this country and great reform in this country. And that is going to be one of two or three of the big ones. The other is obviously climate change specifically and how that links to energy security. And I also hope this tax reform process is one that is a genuine one, not just trying to cut an agreement with some crossbenchers and skate through as...
With carbon tax potentially on the agenda too.
Well, not only that. Tax reform generally. There was a Henry tax review done last year. Everyone knows about it, except they don't know what the government response is. And that needs to be played out in a public discourse. And we shouldn't be afraid of having a tax debate in this country without everyone just spinning out into increased taxes here, there or everywhere. So hopefully that's one of the other big ones that sits alongside the ones you've raised.
I'm going to have to wind you up in a moment.
No, it's 17 fine. Minutes is up.
but questions that have come in via Facebook and Twitter, if I can summarise them. He stopped tweeting for the 17 days. What was that about? He hasn't been doing his Thought for the Day on his blog anymore. Yeah. So you're starting to get people complaining also about being unfollowed on Twitter. Yeah. Well, you've obviously made a strategic decision to cut the number of people you're following and who can therefore send you direct messages, which go to your email. So I'm wondering about what the impact of all of this engagement is on your diminished time and how that's all going to play out.
Yeah, look, we have just been absolutely backs to the wall in a very small office dealing with some pretty big issues and some pretty big organisations. I walked through one of the media outlets in Sydney two nights ago and was shocked to see three banks of journalists all lined up on their computers and our, one-man media team. it just makes you realise just what you are up against. So we will get back into it, I assure everyone who's Twittering and Facebooking and, again, killing me underneath the screen, that we will get back to it, but it's just been a resourcing issue. We just literally have not had time to breathe, let alone
really
get on the front
difficulty,
foot.
Isn't it, for campaigning for independence in this brave new world of always on?
Well, with the lack of resources you got, if you had 20 people around you, you'd
That's
be fine,
I mean.
And you would be much more, you could compete a lot better, but we'll work it out. That's not a complaint. We'll work it out, and just when it settles down a bit over hopefully the next week, we'll be back on the front foot.
All right, we're out of time, but to summarise, I'm going to ask you if you can, unprepared, but can you give me two hashtags? The first hashtag would be summarising Tony Abbott's attitude to the deal you struck on parliamentary procedures.
Solicitor General has hopefully saved the day.
Okay, excellent. And what hashtag would you use to denote Julia Gillard's chance of maintaining Labor minority government for 3 years?
Part of the agreement was that a federal election date would be announced sometime soon in 3 years' time.
Ten characters right now.
So hopefully that happens and that sticks.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Robert. Well,